new study in the Journal of Neuroscience says something remarkable about how the human brain processes sound. Researchers found that kids who took music lessons for 2 years didn't just get better at playing the trombone or violin. Playing music also helped their brains better understand language. From the NPR Ed team, Corey Turner explains.
Before we get to the neuroscience nitty-gritty, let's visit the place in Los Angeles where these researchers did their work.
How do we hold our mouthpieces? Good job, two fingers and a thumb. Am I holding it correctly, like this? No, that's ridiculous, you guys.
That's teacher Shelly Siminski, and these are the dulcet tones of 7 and 8 year olds learning trombone.
One, two, here we go.
We're at the LA headquarters of Harmony Project, a nonprofit after-school program that teaches music to children in low-income communities. On this late afternoon, a few dozen kids have come to get lessons. Kids like 8-year-old Bless Potawarin, who's been with Harmony for 2 years. When I ask why she loves the flute,
it's because it has a really good spitting and a really good fingering and stuff.
We're on the second floor of a tired old building in Hollywood. The walls are thin, and a few of the windows barely close. There are no padded practice rooms. At 5 o'clock, staffers simply surrender their offices to the kids and their teachers. Bless and the other young flutists warm up around a scratched old conference table.
You're an expert on the head joint.
Down the hall, trumpets and trombones rattle the glass doors, and around the corner, oboes squeeze between desks and stacks of paperwork. Harmony Project was founded by Margaret Martin, whose life path includes parenting 2 kids while homeless before earning a doctorate in public health. A few years ago, she noticed something surprising about the kids who had gone through her program.
Since 2008, 93% of our high school seniors have graduated in 4 years and have gone on to colleges like Dartmouth, Tulane, NYU, despite dropout rates of 50% or more in the neighborhoods where they live and where we intentionally site our programs.
Now, there are lots of possible explanations for that success. Some of the kids and parents the program attracts are clearly driven. Then there's access to instruments the kids couldn't otherwise afford, and the lessons, of course. It also gives kids a place to go after school, and access to adults who will challenge and nurture them. Keep in mind, many of these students come from families or neighborhoods that have been ravaged by substance abuse or violence. Still, founder Margaret Martin suspected there was something else, too, about actually playing music that was helping these kids. And here's where we come to that study we mentioned in the intro.
The brain wave physically resembles the sound wave.
That's neurobiologist Nina Kraus at Northwestern University. When a mutual acquaintance at the National Institutes of Health introduced her to Margaret Martin, Kraus jumped at the chance to study the Harmony Project kids and their brains. First, though, a quick primer. The brain depends on neurons. Whenever we take in new information through our ears or eyes or skin, those neurons talk to each other by firing off electrical pulses. We call these brain waves. And with scalp electrodes, Kraus and her team can both see and hear these brain waves. This is a bit of Mozart, first to your ear, then your brain. Using some pretty new, expensive, and complicated technology, Kraus and her team can also break these brain waves down into their component parts to better understand how kids process not only music, but speech, too. Because the two aren't all that different. They have 3 common denominators: pitch, timing, and timbre. And the brain uses the same circuitry to make sense of them all. Now, in other research, Kraus had noticed something about the brains of kids who come from poverty, like many in Harmony Project. These children often hear fewer words by the age of 5 than other kids, and that's a problem.
In the absence of stimulation, the nervous system will just, it's hungry for stimulation, and it will make things up. So in the absence of sound, what we saw is that there was just more sort of random background activity, which you might think of as static.
Kraus calls it neural noise. On top of that, processing sound, like telling the difference between someone saying ba and ga, requires microsecond precision in the brain. And Krauss says many kids raised in poverty simply have a harder time doing it. Here's an analogy we put together.
Well, even when you're dressed up, you're still yourself inside. You will always be you, no matter how different you look. And that's just fine with me.
That is, of course, Mr. Rogers. In the brain of a child raised in poverty, as we said, there might be lots of neural noise, the result of too little stimulation early on. To the brain, it might sound something like this.
You will always be you, no matter how different you look. And that's just fine with me.
Plus, the child might have some basic trouble processing the voice itself. To the brain, it might seem muddy.
You will always be you, no matter how different you look. And that's just fine with me.
Working with Harmony Project, Krauss randomly assigned kids from the program's waitlist into two groups, those who would be studied after 1 year of music lessons and those who would be studied after 2 years. In the two-year kids, Krauss found that the static didn't go away, but they got better, more precise at processing sound. In other words, less mud.
You will always be you, no matter how different you look. And that's just fine with me.
Why the improvement? It goes back to pitch, timing, and timbre. Krauss argues that learning music improves the brain's ability to process all three, which helps kids pick up language too. Consonants and vowels become clearer, and the brain can make sense of them more quickly, which makes life easier at school, not just in music class, but math too, and everywhere else. Now, to be clear, the study has its limits. It was small. It was not done in a lab, and it's hard to know if kids doing some other activity could have experienced similar benefits. But 10th grader Monica Miranda doesn't need proof that playing violin has helped her.
Music really connects with education. It helps you concentrate more.
Miranda's in her third year with Harmony Project.
I'm going to tell you a story. When I do my homework or I'm studying for something and I feel overwhelmed, I usually go to my violin to start playing it. I feel like it relaxes my mind. And coming here to play with an orchestra, it's just amazing. I love it.
And the science says her brain loves it too. Corey Turner, NPR News.
That's okay. No, that's okay. What I'm hearing is some people are playing what I call scary hot cross buns.
What?
So instead of playing hot cross buns like this, I'm hearing some students are playing scary hot cross buns.
That's scary.
Is it Halloween yet?
Yeah.
No, it's not Halloween for another couple months. Or a month and a half, I guess. Can everyone play a B? B natural?